Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we're going to look at the Week 1 matchup between Florida Atlantic and Michigan State. So this is going to be a rare episode where, especially in these early weeks, that I'm looking at, a Power 5, Power 4 team versus a Group of 6 team. And the reason is it's just hard to quantify the returning production and the talent level this early in the season, especially when you're looking at, you could have a team that's, they've got a lot of returning production, but is the talent really there? This is a middling Power 4 team, are they going to line up and, just dominate because of the talent, regardless of how much is coming back. But I felt like this game needed needed some insight, and I feel like there's an edge and there's value simply because Michigan State on paper looks abysmal, and they were abysmal last year. There's no way around it. That's why the entire staff got fired. I mean, let's be honest, they were terrible. And so what they did, though, was they brought in competent replacements. So you have just a change of the guard all the way across the board, right? So they're going to bring in former head coach Jonathan Smith of Oregon State, who also then brought in Oregon State offensive coordinator Brian Lindgren. And then they got Minnesota defensive coordinator Joe Rossi, or Rossi, however it's pronounced. I apologize. And that is going to be a significant difference, in my opinion. And the reason is Oregon State, they played a certain style that I think Michigan State fans really embrace and they really kind of want back, right? And they also were successful at Oregon State. They went 8-4 last year. They won 10 games the year before that. And that is not a program that is built by football. That is a baseball program, bar none, no questions asked. So just from the tactical standpoint, I think we're going to see some differences that are going to make a gigantic change. So last year, Michigan State ran 11 personnel at the 19th highest rate, 85.1% of the time. Now, I have no issue with running 11 personnel. I think, it is the base personnel in all football, not just college. But when you're 118th and 11 personnel EPA per attempt, you got to switch it up. You got to do something different. And they just didn't. They just lined up in 11 personnel and hoped for the best. And that's just not going to work, especially in the Big Ten. Now, what Oregon State does last year by bringing in Oregon State offensive coordinator or Oregon State head coach, they're going to cut 11 personnel down to 62%, and then they're going to essentially double the 12 personnel at 27.4%. So what this is doing from a passing standpoint is it's setting up the play action. It's setting up these opportunities to really take advantage of defenses when they're least expecting it. And then we'll get into the modern techniques that is just extremely lacking in Michigan State's offense last year. And when I say modern techniques, I know I beat this home 100 times, but it matters when we're looking at college teams almost more than it matters for pro teams, because a lot of these quarterbacks, a lot of these offensive players, they are not going to play in the NFL. They are not going to go to the next level. So you have to make these offenses as easy as possible, and you have to make them, take advantage of the rules and the hash marks and the difference in college football from pro football. So last year, Michigan State was 110th in play action dropback percentage, 23.5%, and 100th in motion dropback percentage. Now, Oregon State's not really going to give you much more from the motion standpoint, but from a play action standpoint, they were 38th in play action dropback percentage, 35.5%. Now, that 11% doesn't seem like a lot, but when it comes to the flow of the offense and just the overall efficiency that it brings and the balance, it's going to make all the difference in the world. And their play action EPA per attempt was 26th overall, which is elite level, especially for an offense that, you know, was not viewed from that lens. Now, when you look at play action and motion versus non-play action, non-motion attempts, those, you know, those are the things that really are sticky to me. So a pass attempt that does not have motion and does not have play action, at least one of those facets, you know, that is the least efficient pass attempt in football. Now, Michigan State was 120th in these attempts, which means 59.6% of their pass attempts did not have a motion or play action, involved in it. And that doesn't seem like, oh, that seems pretty normal, right? Well, that's 13% more than the average, which is about 46%. Now, Oregon State's isn't like drastically different, but they're more near the average. They're 48%, 81st overall. But that makes all the difference in a game of like, you know, a game of inches in a game, you know, in a, especially when you're looking at a team that just is trying to embrace an identity going into this year because of how poorly they have performed in the last several years. Now, one thing that also stands out to me is when I look at the extended red zone EPA. So what that means is it's taking plays from the opponent's 40-yard line and in. Simply, it gives you like a bigger red zone opportunity. So those possessions are crucial. They have to be capitalized on. You know, those are your best chances at scoring points, right? So last year, Michigan State on offense was dead last out of all Power 5 teams at 69th overall. Now, that is abysmal, but the good thing is you can now look on the positive side of it. They cannot get any worse than they were last year in this area of the field. And I think they will get much better, being that their offense is going to have some innovation and it's going to have less throwing. They're going to dial back the PROE profile and really get back to their roots, which, you know, I mean, it's cliche, but, you know, the Big Ten is a ground and pound off. You know, like, that's just the cliche. But in this exercise, it makes a difference because it gives the offense more balance. It keeps the defense more honest. Now, from the defensive side of the ball, you're not going to see a ton of changes from a schematic standpoint. They're going to run similar zone coverages, cover three, cover four, a little bit of elevated cover two, which, you know, I don't really have any, I am not for or against that. I don't think that makes a big difference, especially when we're looking at the scheme here. The one thing that does stand out on defense is Minnesota last year blitzed at the 129th rate. They were 13.7% of the time they blitzed, and that is, you know, half of the average, which is on average 26% of the time defense is blitzed. And what's unfortunate is they were actually 13th in EPA per blitz attempt. So you're hoping that from a defensive coordinator standpoint, you're going to see that increase for Michigan State this year, because Michigan State, even though, you know, they weren't, you know, elite on defense, they blitzed at a 28% clip, which, you know, they were actually really much better when they blitzed versus when they didn't blitz. And I think that's going to be a big difference. And the reason I say that is any type of pressure on FAU's quarterback is going to make the difference in this game. And so we're going to dive into him real quick, because that's going to be kind of, you know, how I'm going to judge that defense or that offense and that team as a whole. Because if he can't keep up, then this could get ugly quickly. So Cam Fancher for FAU is a transfer from Marshall, and he had 78 passing attempts against Power 5 defenses last year, and he ranked 159th in EPA per pass attempt, and that is out of 200 quarterbacks. So that is pretty, pretty bad. Now, when you look at a couple of other metrics, Cam Fancher, when trailing, In the second half, he ended up ranking 74th overall, which is not terrible. It's a little bit above average. Versus the Blitz, he was 170th out of 200 in EPA per pass attempt. So that right there is one reason why I hope they dial it up a little bit more than what, you know, the data says from last year from their tendencies. And then versus non-blitz, he was 87th. So just average, you know. So I think these type of schematics from the defensive standpoint. And then the offense, the last piece for the offense for Michigan State that really settles me in and why I like this line and I'm not afraid to lay the points here is they're bringing in Aiden Childs, who is a transfer from Oregon State also at quarterback. So he has the experience with the system. They trust him. He only played a little bit last year, but a four-star prospect, if I'm not mistaken, from 247 Sports. So he should be comfortable in this system, and he should be able to make the plays that that you know are expected of him. Now, from a prop standpoint, I don't really have anything that I feel super confident with. I will say that if you were looking for a play, I think the wide receiver for Michigan State, Montori Foster, the X receiver, you could see his over, his receiving yards total over would be in play. Reason being, FAU was 109th in EPA per wide X receiver attempt last year. And I think they're going to see probably a couple of spots, a couple open play actions where he could get a chunk of yards and really, you know, gobble up that total pretty quickly. I think the total is right around 65 receiving yards last time I checked. The markets here are, they fluctuate pretty quick where I'm at, especially when it comes to college props. So, but I do think he is definitely in play if you're able to make those type of wagers. But I do stand behind Michigan State getting it right here with the new coaching staff and a decent amount of returning production, especially on the defensive side, and they should be improved in all assets, all aspects, excuse me. So as usual, as I've said on the last several episodes, this is going to be the new format going forward for episodes during the regular season. We'll do recaps and stuff like that on Mondays or Tuesdays. This way it's easier for you guys. If you want to look at a certain episode, you can look at that. Instead of having to wait and, you know, go through like a 2-hour episode, you know, I know time is crucial. People have less and less free time, probably than ever in the history of time, you know, when you have kids and things like that. So I try to make these episodes as concise and complete with as much information that is valuable and portrayed as quickly as possible to you so you can get on with the rest of your day. And not have to listen to me into the late hours of the night. So that's going to be it for today. As usual, if you want to reach out to me and talk about the process, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions on future topics I should cover, you can always reach me on Twitter or you can email me at themittnermethod@gmail.com. And then other than that, thanks for listening and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.